Meeting of the House Agriculture and Forestry Committee. We appreciate you all showing up. To start off with, today we have a great presentation from the Extension Service at OSU in a program that I have seen before that I really am very, very high on that I think is worthy of sharing with the committee, and it's called Agriculture in the Classroom. I think it's a great program that has real benefit for all kids, and I would hope that the rest of our committee members would show up shortly. Jim, why don't you come forward? And we are hereby opening a public hearing informationally on agriculture in the classroom. And welcome to you both, and for the record, state your name, please.
Thank you, Chairman Krupp. My name is Jim Rutledge, and I'm the State 4-H Program Leader from Oregon State University and the current President of Oregon Agriculture in the Classroom.
Tammy Kerr, Program Director of Ag in the Classroom at Oregon State University.
Welcome to you. Thank you for coming today. Well, what's this Agriculture in the Classroom all about?
Well, with your permission, Chairman Krupp and committee members, we have a short presentation that we'd like to make, and then we'd entertain any questions that you have.
Wonderful.
I believe an informational packet's been placed at each of your chairs, and between Tammy and I, we'll cover most of the information that's in there in some way, and then we'll leave it up to you to read the rest of it.
All right. Thank you.
We are very pleased to be here today to bring you up to date on what we think is some of the most important and exciting things happening. And that's helping our children grow in their knowledge of Oregon's agriculture and natural resources. We've prepared this packet with a number of the specific details about the program that we can't cover in our short presentation today. We hope that you'll have time to look at that. Oregon's 500,000 school-aged children are in danger of growing up without the essential agricultural and natural resource knowledge they need to be good citizens, consumers, and community leaders. Several national studies have shown that today's young people don't always know very much about where their daily food comes from. Even more alarming, many of their teachers don't know either. And we're finding that in the rural areas, it's really not much better than in the urban areas, that their understanding of agriculture is not that complete. The 4-H Youth Development Program at Oregon State University and the Ag in the Classroom program have recently joined forces to address this critical issue. Last spring, the Extension Service did a needs assessment in all 36 counties, and one of the big issues that came out of that was agricultural literacy. 25 of the 36 counties said that more agricultural education for schools and communities was a key issue in their county. In most of the other counties, the issues of the rural-urban interface and education were also on that list. And we'd like to tell you about some of the things that we're doing to address that. Agriculture in the Classroom is a national program headquartered in the United States Department of Agriculture. It was started by President Reagan's Secretary of Agriculture, John Block, in the early 80s, and now exists in most of the 50 states. Oregon's Ag in the Classroom program is managed by a nonprofit foundation board. That board is made up of individuals representing either agriculture or education. Our members include educators, extension agents, OSU, agriculture education faculty, representatives from the State Department of Agriculture, the State Department of Education, from various commodity organizations, including the dairy industry, the Beef Council, horticulture industry, Oregon Farm Bureau, and others. Oregon Ag in the Classroom has been through some tough times and some good times, and over the past few years has been hosted by several different organizations. Since the fall of 99, the Extension 4-H offices at OSU have been hosting providing a home base for the program, and with the help of some private guests, we were able to hire Tammy Kerr in September of 1999. And so today we're back in the business of taking agriculture and natural resource information to the classrooms of Oregon.
Now, Jim, before you go any further, let me ask you, how are you funded primarily, and why did you have to seek private money to hire Tammy?
Well, the Ag in the Classroom program, even though it's hosted by the USDA nationally, is not funded at the state level by any organization. by any entity. It's been posted alternately by the Department of Agriculture, the Agribusiness Council, the Wheat Commission, Farm Bureau, a lot of organizations have provided a place for Ag in the Classroom, but as yet, no one has provided any funding to support the program. So beginning in the fall of 1999, our board of directors went out on a private fundraising drive asking individuals and organizations to help fund this work, and we were able to raise enough money to hire Tammy. And now a good bit of what she does is continue to raise money in order to continue the work that we do.
Okay, thank you. So, please continue.
Well, besides our 4-H programs being involved in local clubs, we now have a large science-based school enrichment program that last year reached over 30,000 students with science lessons that are primarily about natural resources and agriculture. And we believe this new partnership between the 4-H program and Ag in the Classroom is the ideal way to promote greater agricultural literacy for all our young people and their families. We have extension agents in Tillamook and Jackson and Clatsop and Malheur and Crook and Multnomah and many others that have indicated to us that they're just waiting for us to get this program really going full steam. Now, we realize that this program is not going to raise the price of grass seed. It's not going to increase export markets in the next 2 years. But we look at this as an investment in all our futures. We believe that as young people learn more about their food and fiber industries, that they will become better consumers, better business leaders, better educators, better legislators, and better citizens and better voters. And that because of that, we'll have more supportive and better policy in the areas of agriculture and natural resources.
Yeah.
So by helping young people learn more about agriculture, we will not only improve agriculture's and Oregon's economy, we'll be helping all Oregonians, because in the end, so much of our future is based on the natural resource economy. Speaking of economics, you need to know that our industry, your industries, have supported this program with over 70,000 in gifts over the last 18 months. And that's really what's been keeping us alive and allowing us to grow and develop in a number of ways. Those gifts have come from individuals and organizations ranging all the way from $20 from a farm wife to $10,000 from a couple of organizations that are supportive of agriculture, as well as one individual that's given us a $10,000 gift. And that's what is keeping the program alive and is currently supporting our program director's position. And at this point, I'd like to turn the microphone over to Tammy to tell you a little bit about some of the specific things that have been happening in Ag in the Classroom.
Good afternoon. I would like to just first tell you about the basic purpose of Ag in the Classroom. The purpose is to help young people gain a better understanding of agriculture, the source of our food and fiber, its impact on our economy, and our daily life. Ag in the Classroom was designed to provide curriculum, reference materials, and teaching aids to K-12 teachers throughout the state of Oregon. And we do that through our free loan reference library. Our materials are for K-12. We have books, lesson plans, videos, and a lot of hands-on activities for students of all grade levels. We have information in quite a few different topic areas, such as animals, plants, food nutrition, conservation, natural resources, and general agriculture. This last year, we developed a website that's been online for about a year. And at this point, our resource materials are also all online. They are broken into the different topics that I just stated, the animals, plants, food, nutrition, and they're listed in grade level with a description of the material and then the benchmark that applies to it, whether it's math, science, English. So it's very user-friendly. It's very easy for people to see what's available. We also have lesson plans that are written by Oregon teachers that have attended the Summer Ag Institute that are grade-specific and written to the benchmark standards. We have a section on our website called What's New. We have activities for families and teachers to participate in. One new event is the lambing season at Oregon State University that starts actually tomorrow. And last year they had over 3,000 to 4,000 students that participated, and we had a display there. This year we have books and videos and other activities to pre-service the kids that are coming out to lambing season. Ag Fest is coming up in April. Last year over 18,000 people were there. We had a display with hands-on activities and also teacher resource materials. A new feature that we're adding is a web calendar contest for students in grades 3 to 6. I want a picture of their idea of Oregon agriculture. We'll be listing below the picture will have the student's grade, or the student's name with the grade level, the teacher, and the school and community, so that they're all duly recognized. And below that, we'll have a picture. Below the picture, we'll have ag facts that correlate to the specific month, whether it's National Cherry Month, National Honey Month, National Nutrition Month, National 5-Day a Week, or National Ag Day. And this will be posted next fall on our website. We're also printing a newsletter, and that's in the back of your packet. It's a salmon-colored piece. And this is published 3 times a year in the fall, winter, and spring. It's also available on our website. It's written specifically for teachers, and we're mailing that to contacts that have made in the last few years. People have gone through the Summer Ag Institute, contacts made at AgFest, State Fair, and other activities. The current edition features our online resource library, materials that we have available, an ag calendar for January, February, and March, websites for both students and teachers. There's an insert with information about lambing season, basic facts about sheep and wool, and also 2 activities for students. On the other side, there's an insert with information about our web calendar contest. Now, to provide you with a summary of students and teachers that we've listed this last year, there's another page in the packet with a lot of our highlights and different ag organizations we've met with this last year. We have presented materials and programs to over 25,000 youth this last year and directly sent out over 1,500 lessons from our office just since the school year started in September. We've participated at AgFest, the Oregon State Fair, Summer Ag Institute at both Oregon State and Eastern Oregon University, FarmFest, homeschool conventions, Oregonian Teacher Resource Fair, ESD meetings, and the Oregon State University Sheep Barns. We've made direct contacts and worked with teachers in Tillamook, Powell Butte, Redmond, Pendleton, and Ontario, just to name a few of the areas. I'm currently working with the Boys and Girls Clubs in Albany. I made a presentation to them last week, and we've set a calendar of activities so that their staff can make presentations for the next 5 weeks. I'm very excited about that. It's going to be a great way to try some new activities and get their feedback directly. In your packet also, you'll find 2 testimonials from teachers, one from the Portland area and another one from outside of Eugene, Marcola Elementary. Jim mentioned the partnership we formed with a lot of the ag groups this last year. We spent a lot of time meeting with the different commodity groups and ag organizations to let them know what materials we have available and to see what educational materials they have so we're not duplicating any efforts, how we can best work with all the groups that are out there. But the new curriculum that Jim will talk about in a few minutes is something that's very exciting and specific to ag in the classroom. We are currently working with the Oregon Department of Education, the Oregon Department of Agriculture, the Oregon Farm Bureau, Oregon Women for Agriculture, and a lot of the different commodity groups have either provided funding or materials. Some thankfully have provided both. We've worked with the Oregon Beef Council, the Ryegrass Commission, the Sheep Commission, the Dairy Farmers of Oregon, the Oregon Dairy Products Commission, and also the Hazelnut Commission, just to name a few. Thank you.
Excellent.
Well, as you can tell, Tammy's been doing a great job for us. When we hired her, we said we needed somebody that would wake up every day and think about what can I do to promote ag in the classroom, and Tammy's done a great job of that. But one of the other big challenges that we have, given that she spends a lot of time out working with organizations and working directly with teachers, is this whole question of curriculum. There's a lot of curriculum in the other states that have ag in the classroom programs, but you know what? Most of them raise mostly cattle and calves or wheat or corn. And if you look around Oregon, our agriculture is a lot more diverse than that. So we face a real challenge that there's not any other state that has curriculum that we can just borrow, or we'd be delighted to do that. We're having to rewrite nearly everything that we use to make it Oregon-specific, to match the Oregon endorsement areas and to match the Oregon commodities, so that Oregon school children are not studying about something from New Hampshire or from Illinois or some other part of the country. And so that's one of our big challenges. We were able to get a small grant through the Extension Service for the 4-H office to hire a curriculum writer, and over the last 6 months, she's been busily working to develop new curriculum. And there's 3 handouts in your packet. One talks about the lesson plans that are completed and currently being tested, and 2 of those are included for your review. One is called A Day Without Agriculture, and the other one is called Who You Gonna Call. These are just 2 samples of some of the curriculum that's being developed for the 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade levels that we hope to actually have in production this fall. But this is a big challenge for us. Our dreams and hopes are to be able to conduct teacher workshops so that teachers will be familiar with this material, so that they can learn how to use this new curriculum. We have a plan for Ag in the Classroom to develop an ambassador program and a master volunteer program to actually work directly with classroom teachers. But we need time and resources to make that a reality. As I said earlier, our problem is that right now our program director spends half of her time trying to raise the funds so that she can continue to work, and it limits the amount of time that we can spend actually working directly with the classroom teachers. We hope to gain your support and others for the 4-H Ag in the Classroom positions that are actually in House Bill 2872 for the OSU statewide, which includes the Extension Service, which is where the 4-H program is housed. And we know that they're having their first hearing tomorrow afternoon, actually in the Stream Restoration and Species Recovery Committee. And we're proposing to include two positions in that process, one for the program director and one for a curriculum writer. We believe that if we can leverage those two positions against all of the interests of commodity organizations, the fact that we already have extension offices in all 36 counties, we have 4-H staff and teachers that are willing to develop and promote this program, but without stable funding to provide for the management and the curriculum, we're really at a point where we can ultimately not reach very many students. So we ask for your help in providing the leverage to get these positions. The foundation, our Ag in the Classroom Foundation as a 501c3, will continue to raise some funds to support classroom supplies, teacher training materials, and allow us to get linkages to the various ag organizations. The 4-H program will continue to provide a network of agents that already exist in the 36 counties. So with this investment, we can maximize our existing partnerships and reach literally thousands of boys and girls and help them to learn how to address the critical issues that relate to ag and natural resources. We know that one of the main issues that we face as a state is this rural-urban interface and the conflict that comes from the lack of knowledge about what it takes to sustain a healthy agriculture. And so we're here today basically to inform you of what we're doing and to ask for your help and support. And at this point, we'd open ourselves up to any questions that you might have or any comments that you have.
Certainly. Representative Smith?
Yes. Oh, thank you. I'm quite excited about this program. I just, you know, wish you all the good thoughts and luck with it. Tammy Kerr, on your website, can teachers download lesson plans directly?
Yes. Well, the new curriculum is still in draft stage, so that is not posted at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Although when we have it printed later, it's going to be available at no charge. They'll have to come to a training session, but we will be giving them the curriculum. We do have...
They do have to go to a training session before they can access the information?
No. No, that is for the curriculum I'm working on. That will be next fall and later. Yes, we do currently have some lesson plans that are written by teachers that went through SAI.
Yeah. SAI?
The Summer Ag Institute.
Okay.
It's a week-long class at Oregon State and Eastern Oregon that we're participating with.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Chairman Krupp, Representative Smith, through some of the other programs that are similar in nature to this, one being the Oregon Forest Education Program, they've been supported by OFRI over the years, and they've done quite a bit of research on the use of this kind of materials in the classroom, and they find that even with the teacher workshops, not all the teachers will use the curriculum. So we believe that the best way to enhance that is if we can do these teacher workshops, but we want to also support that with an ambassador program where every school would have an Ag in the Classroom ambassador. This might be someone from the Farm Bureau Women's Committee or the Cattle Women's, or it may be a teacher that's really committed to this, or it may be a farmer or rancher that is there to help the teachers know what's available, and someone that we would have in a network. The last thing that we want to have happen is to develop all this Oregon-specific curriculum and then just have it sit on the shelf somewhere.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Certainly.
The teacher workshops, is there a charge for that? Oh, wow, that's even better. Do they get college credit?
We haven't gotten to that point. If our positions are able to be stabilized and Tammy would become a faculty member at Oregon State University, it would be a lot easier for us to provide college credit for those teachers going through the workshop.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We have additional questions? Certainly. Vice Chair Nelson.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Chair, sorry for being late.
That's perfectly all right. The chair is...
My first time.
The chair is trying to do a better job at starting meetings on time.
I want
to... So that we can all leave here earlier.
Can I apologize to you, Ms. Kerr and Dr. Rutledge? Have you been to Yamhill County? McMinnville, I'm just curious.
Actually, Representative Nelson, not at this point. I have made some calls to talk to some instructors at the college. I'd really like to start some training sessions with students studying education so that they know what materials are available afterwards. But right now, we're still sending emails and mailings back and forth, but at this time, no.
Follow-up, please.
Certainly.
And would you be working with Western Oregon University?
We would hope at some point, Representative Nelson, to work with any institution that is providing pre-service training for teachers that will work in the state of Oregon.
That is a long-term goal.
That's a long-term goal, but again, it's really hard when you've got all the other tasks that we're working on. But our goal would eventually be to have a curriculum and have entree through the higher ed system to any institution that's doing pre-service training for teachers.
Follow-up, please.
Certainly.
Thank you, Ms. Chair and Ms. Kerr and Dr. Rutledge. I thank you very much for doing this, and I'm really proud of you. Please come to Yamhill County. Okay? Thank you for that affirmative.
Chairman Krupp and Representative Nelson, we would be delighted to do that.
Thank
Wonderful.
You.
Representative King, did you have a question?
No, not really, but...
You'll talk anyway, though, right?
Since I'm prodded. The Crestwell FFA, I think you probably ask at a head school.
I love this.
That's just one of the most outstanding high school programs I have seen of any kind. They just do a great job, and the teacher of that program at Crestwell has received national recognition many times,
and just
goes way over the top. Just great job.
Chairman Krupp, Representative King, we are very eager to work with and have the full support of the FFA organization at the state level through Don Swiger to work directly with any FFA chapter that's interested. One of the things I think that's important to understand is that we're not trying to turn every boy or girl into a farmer or a rancher, but we're trying to make sure that everyone that goes through the educational system in Oregon has a much better understanding of agriculture, so that whatever their chosen profession, they'll be knowledgeable enough to help make good decisions. And we'll rely heavily on those FFA chapters in the communities that have them. And go ahead.
Although we do have some great career information available for students if they are interested in looking at agriculture as a possible career. But I did want to add a note also, the state FFA convention is going to be in Corvallis in a few weeks, and I will be there to meet with all the state FFA instructors.
All right. If I can go on more, I work with some local people and some people from the forest products industry, and we did an invitation to all the teachers of Eugene and Springfield that was really a first-class event, and I'm not sure quite how many teachers we have, but we may have had as many as 800 teachers attend to go through and really spend a day doing different projects and things that they could take directly into their class. It was just a way to reach out to teachers. That it was a hard thing to do, but it was a unique experience. We videotaped it and just want to see more of those kind of things happening. I know we'd all like to clone you to do more of those things.
No, we're not going to talk about cloning in this committee. Remember, we've already discussed that.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. I have some questions for you. Now, generally speaking, and looking at your lessons plans, the grade levels you're after are 3 to 5. Is that where you really focus? But do you kind of go either side of that, either earlier grades or latter grades?
Well, Chairman Krupp, the big issue is where do you start? Our goal is ultimately to have curriculum that cuts across the entire span, but nationally, Ag in the Classroom as an organization and 4-H as an organization have focused on the third, fourth, and fifth grade as a key point when young people are really interested in exploration beyond the basic math and reading skills, and yet it's before they've gotten totally involved in relationships and sports and lots of other things that will attract their attention. So we've chosen to start there because that's where Oregon history is taught. That's where teachers are more prone to include this kind of a lesson format in their spring series. And we think that the quickest payoff is in the third, fourth, and fifth grades. But
well, and also, Representative Krupp, starting with a new program, K-12 is such a huge area. It was much easier, and we can be a lot more efficient if we're focusing on the elementary grades at this point in time. And if you have a teacher in fourth grade and we have a good rapport with her, she can use our materials to teach English, math, science, social sciences, and history. Whether it's a high school teacher, they're going to be teaching one subject, you know, so we can reach a larger number of students at this point. And there are more materials available also. So that's really the reason for our focus. And the curriculum that we're writing is written to the fifth grade benchmarks, but as Jim said, grade four is when they're studying Oregon history. So it's a great tie-in.
It is a good tie-in. I wanted to say that you are providing this potentially, I know this is a draft copy, but this type of a curriculum resource material for teachers. And the teachers actually do the teaching on the subject based on this particular issue. How well received is this type of an idea with the teacher? I mean, do the teachers generally well embrace this idea of using your materials to get across, or are they concerned about your objectivity in terms of, say, pesticide issues and those types of things?
Well, Chairman Krupp, that's one of the real advantages of aligning something like agriculture in the classroom with the Extension Service, Oregon State University. Because we are publicly funded, we're obliged to stick with the facts, to stay as much as possible in the center of the science, and therefore we maintain our credibility and the appropriateness of us being in the public classroom. And the other thing that we find is that lessons about plants and animals are just naturally attractive to school children rather than other inanimate objects. And so, to a large extent, even though the teacher is still teaching science and math and social studies, this enhances their ability to maintain the student's interest because they're talking about subjects that children are naturally interested in.
And if you read the information, you don't have to know anything about agriculture in those lessons. It provides enough background information for the teacher. And it's designed for anyone to use. You know, I obviously don't have the time to go into all classrooms around the state, so we need to have materials that are very easy, very friendly for teachers to use. And after sampling the information, the response has been very positive, but it just takes time to meet with the teachers and to show them the material. But because we've taken a lot of extra steps, for example, in the lessons, the vocabulary list is on a separate page. It's a size 14 font, so it's easier for the students to read, and it's only on one page. It will never be, sometimes it's completely full, but it's always on one page. So we've done a lot of little things to make it easier and more user-friendly for the teachers at their suggestion.
Well, I think it's a great concept because I think you really do integrate a lot of learning concepts. I like your last page where they have an opportunity to use their art skills and draw. I did see one of your other lessons, I think, when I saw the presentation up at the Oregon Garden that revolved around figuring out how many pounds of seed you would need and fertilizer and coupled with the acres. And so there were some mathematical equations in there. And I thought that was really unique because that's really what we have to do today, that I have to do as a farmer, are those types of ideas. So I think it's a great plan. I'm glad to hear that teachers seem to be willing to embrace this particular concept in doing this. Yes.
I can really get into this, you know, being a former teacher and also very into agriculture. Mr. Chair and Ms. Kerr and Dr. Rutledge, can we do a documentary? And I think we should get the Farm Bureau to sponsor it. And the Department of Agriculture. I think that would be a very good activity to promote agriculture. And I have a bill out right now that will allow farmers to promote their products, which is incredible to me that it's the only producer or manufacturer of a product who is not allowed to produce and promote. But I think this is great for the entire state. I think it would be a great step on behalf of the Department of Agriculture to participate in this, as well as the universities like OSU. And we produce a documentary, and we have cable. And we'd be happy to, you know, make this available to you. And I think that's a great, you know, great way to, you know, spread the message.
We'll take help from any source from which it comes. We have received a small grant from the Department of Agriculture that was used to purchase some of the equipment that we've used to put material up on our website. So we've been very fortunate to have the support of the Department of Agriculture.
Great.
Well, if there are no further questions or comments, I want to thank the both of you, Jim and Tammy. Thanks for coming and for doing great work. I think that what you're doing now will bear real benefits for us as a state later on, and certainly for the agricultural and natural resource industries. It's great to have you here. Thanks.
Thank you very much, and anything you can do to help support for this program go through the legislative process will be greatly appreciated by all of those school children and their teachers.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
This concludes the public informational hearing on Ag in the Classroom, and the chair would like to open up a public hearing and shortly a work session following on two Senate bills, 311 and Senate Bill 313. We're going to open up public hearing on Senate Bill 311A. If we would have Oregon Department of Agriculture come forward, Chuck Craig and Jim Kramer. Now, committee members, it's the chair's intention to pass these two bills out of here today. And ODA assures me that these are merely housekeeping bills. So let's hope that's an accurate description and that we're able to accomplish that. Thank you, gentlemen. Welcome, and for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Chuck Craig, Deputy Director with Department of Agriculture. With me is Jim Kramer, the Acting Administrator of our Commodity Inspection Division. Wanted to make a little aside, Mr. Chair, for Representative Nelson. The department has been a long-standing supporter of Ag in the Classroom. I can remember even participating and putting things together for that program myself, and it's a great program.
Well, Chuck, that's, I'm really glad to hear that, because I was afraid you were going to say that you remembered, you know, reading about it as a child, and and I didn't think the program was that old, but thank you. Please continue.
Okay. Mr. Chair, to Senate Bill 311, this is a housekeeping bill brought forward by the department at the recommendation of our Grain Warehouse Advisory Committee. What the bill does is it eliminates an extra $75 license fee that is paid by grain warehouses that also store certified alfalfa seed. Those warehouses are already licensed. There is no additional protection for anybody provided by requiring that additional license fee. So one thing that the bill does is eliminate that. The second thing that it does is for an entity that is storing only certified alfalfa seed, it eliminates the need for a warehouse license. And the reason is that the absolute majority of that seed is produced under contract, private varieties under contract, which are exempted from the bonding requirement anyway. So the requirement is not doing any good, and we propose to eliminate that by removing certified alfalfa seed from the definition of grain.
So, Chuck, it's unusual to have a state agency come before us asking to reduce fees. Refreshing, I must add, but can you tell us why? I mean, why is this issue before us?
Mr. Chair, we do it once a session.
Okay. Just once is what you're saying. Just once is okay.
Mr. Chair, we do have a practice of periodically looking through our statutes and trying to find obsolete provisions and update them. This is one thing that came forward, and that's why we're here with it. But we do, in fact, periodically bring these things to the legislature.
Well, that's nice to see. And I see that we have a small piece of paper here that says the Legislative Fiscal Office has determined this has a minimal expenditure impact. So I'm assuming that we're not talking about a lot of money here.
No. How many licenses are there?
We have two, we have two full-time certified alfalfa seed storage warehouses, and they're both in Eastern Oregon.
So we're getting $150 a year for that. Okay, well, certainly makes sense to me. Members, questions? Hearing none, gentlemen, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming here today and bringing this issue in front of us. We're going to close a public hearing on Senate Bill 311A and open a work session on Senate Bill 311A. The chair would entertain a motion to pass, with a due pass, to the full House. We have no subsequent referral, correct?
So moved.
We have amendment.
It has been moved by Representative Nolan. I'm sorry. It's a brain freeze.
All right. Not often Department of Ag reduced fees.
I know. I'm still struck by the uniqueness of that. My head is swimming with ideas for other agencies. Anyway, to get back to the business in hand, it's been moved that we pass Senate Bill 311 to the full House with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll, please?
Representative Boyle?
Aye.
Senate Bill 311A is hereby passed to the full House with a due pass recommendation, and we do need a carrier. Would someone like the carrier?
I think I was going to move to place this on the consent calendar, Mr. Chair.
Okay, it has been moved that we place Senate Bill 311 on the consent calendar. Is there any dissent? Representative King.
And discussion?
Discussion, please.
Well, I think that's the most efficient, but I was also thinking we might want to fight over who would be the carrier of a fee decrease bill.
Mr. Chair, we've already spent more in our committee hearing than you're going to get back.
Representative Ackerman, would you like to do the honors on carrying the bill?
I think I can handle it.
Wait a second. If we got a consent, we don't have to.
That's right.
Mr. Chair, you have a motion on the table for a consent calendar. You need to act on that motion prior to going to another motion.
Representative King likes to spend lots of time on the floor.
Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection to placing Senate Bill 311A on the consent calendar? Hearing none, it is so ordered.
That was very bipartisan of us.
That was very bipartisan. We appreciate that. All right, we're going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 313 and would like Department of Ag to come forward once again, please. Chuck Craig and Dan Hilburn. Welcome, gentlemen, once again for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Chuck Craig with Department of Ag, and with me is Dan Hilburn, who is the administrator of the department's plant division. And, Mr. Chair, for the record, we reduced fees twice last session. So running a little bit behind this time, but we'll catch up. Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 313's purpose is to extend the sunset provision for civil penalty authority for quarantine violations for operating in violation of our nursery and Christmas tree licensing requirements and failure to comply with the regulations of the imported timber health program. The last session of the legislature gave us this authority, and they had a sunset, 2-year sunset on that authority to see how it would work out. We worked extensively with all of the groups that were involved, and it took us until December of last year to get our rules developed and in place. And so there's really no time left to test the program. So we had originally asked just to repeal the sunset, but some of the affected parties ask instead that we just extend the sunset for 2 years, and we're willing to do that, and that's what this bill is really for.
Okay. Is there any questions?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Nolan, please.
Mr. Craig, on line 8, why is it extended to 2003, not 2004, and yet in the second section it is 2004?
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
For the record.
Dan Hilburn, Administrator of the Plant Division. Representative Nolan, I think I can help you with that. If you look at those two sections, our subsection 1 and 2, the first says that a violation occurring up until that date could be subject to a civil penalty. The second says that they would have to pay it in that second period of time. It does not relieve any person of the obligation to pay a civil penalty.
Representative, I'm not sure that answers your question. I see the questioning look still on your face. Would you like to follow up?
This looks like maybe Mr. Craig can help me.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think Representative Nolan, I think what happens here is if we cannot impose a civil penalty for the violation if it occurs after December 31st of 2003, the person who has committed the violation is still required to pay the fine if the fine is assessed prior to December 31st of 2004. So if the sunset goes...
Okay. That I think clarifies
thank you,
it.
Thank you. Yes. You basically have a year after the
right.
violation
to pay your fine.
Exactly.
To impose the fine.
Exactly.
And okay.
Thank you.
Fine.
Members, do we have any additional questions? Hearing none. Gentlemen, thank you both very much. We're going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 313A and open a work session on Senate Bill 313A. The chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much.
Oh, excuse me. We're going to close the work session on 313A and reopen the hearing on 313A because the chair screwed up and forgot to call a witness. And with apologies to Mr. Miller, come forward, please. And please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Sean Miller, I represent the Christmas tree growers in Oregon. No need for apologies. We do support the bill. The original bill did come in removing the sunset altogether. Our group did work with the department in putting together the rules in that area. And the reason why the sunset was put in the first place, the Christmas tree industry has grown. Last session when I advocated on behalf of them, they were the 9th largest ag commodity. Now they're the 7th largest ag commodity. They are growing. There is a need for the department to cut out on the bad apples in the industry. However, we wanted to look at and measure some of the results that the department may do when they issue civil penalties. That was the reason for the sunset. Since we haven't been able to measure any results, we asked the department if we can extend that out 2 years. My guess is that we'll come back in 2 years, the cooperation with the department and the industry, and probably be satisfied with this new program and remove the sunset. But until that time, we do support the bill as drafted. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Miller? Hearing none, thank you, Sean. Appreciate it. Now the chair is going to properly close the public hearing on Senate Bill 313A and open the work session on Senate Bill 313A. The chair would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 313 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
It has been so moved. Any discussion? Representative King.
If we put it on the consent calendar, we won't have to explain it.
So are you amending the motion?
We can talk about that later.
Okay. Original motion is recommend to the full House Senate Bill 313A with a due pass. Hearing no further discussion, would the clerk call the roll, please?
Representative Doyle?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Hobson?
Aye.
Representative Nolan?
Aye.
Vice Chair King?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nelson?
Aye.
Chair Krupp?
Aye. Senate Bill 313A is hereby passed to the full House with a due pass recommendation. Do we hear
Chair.
Vice Chair?
I move we place Senate Bill 313A.
That's correct.
On the consent calendar.
It has been moved that Senate Bill 313A is moved to the consent calendar. Any discussion? Is there any dissent? Hearing none, let it so be ordered. We're closing a work session of Senate Bill 313A. Committee members, we have no additional work before us today. To let you know, we also have no work scheduled for Thursday. We will not hold a meeting on Thursday. Thank you all very much. We are adjourned.